Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the program. Due to Christmas and New Year's, my regular guests are mostly taking the day off. So this week, no politics, no crime, and no lofty legal opinions. I, however, was unwilling to take the day off. Instead, I thought I would share some of my favorite entertainment moments of the year. Joining me, at least for part of the program, hopefully all of the program, is my very good friend, TJ Hart. TJ is a well-known radio personality and musician who currently calls Des Moines, Iowa, and WOW FM home. TJ, it's great to talk to you again.
Happy Christmas, mate, and Happy New Year to you.
And the same to you. Boy, isn't it more fun to talk about music than missing kids?
No kidding. I got to tell you, I'd rather talk melody than mayhem any day.
And also with us is the infamous, the one and only author, activist, and barkeep, Sam Murphy. Sam, welcome.
Thank you, Simon. Sorry to surprise you, but I'm glad I did. And I wish everybody season greetings, and I'm looking forward to a politically non-violent show today.
No politics.
It'll still be
today.
Incorrect, but it won't be violent.
I think it's fair to say that rarely do I stoop down to the New York Times bestseller list, the Billboard charts, or the box office hits. I leave that to folks that just get paid and like to do that kind of stuff. I much prefer the world of the unknown and often unrecognized artist. Low budget, no budget, they carry on their quest for greatness. These are noble people with noble goals. What many people fail to grasp is just how much wonderful music is out there if you look. There's an olden but golden saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. The same runs true in music. Okay, I am maybe breaking my own rules with my first tune pick for the day, Tommy Rowe.
Yeah.
He was a 60s heartthrob for every female under the age of about 10. And believe it or not, continues to be a heartthrob, but now many of his fans are more in the 60s range. Somewhere along the line, he garnered the title King of Bubblegum Pop. The 60s saw a string of top 10 hits. And I doubt that there are a few of us older folks that do not remember the classic Dizzy. In fact, let's play it just to refresh everyone's memory. So, Sam, were you a big Tommy Rowe fan?
My brothers were. My older brothers were. So I remember listening to the music. You know, that's the advantage, that the hand-me-down of being the youngest of seven. You know, you got to I listen to everybody's music of my brothers and sisters. So that was that. But I remember it's good music. You know,
well,
I mean, I'm glad I was exposed to it.
Okay, 2012 actually heralded a new coming of Tommy Rowe. TJ, both you and I interviewed Tommy during the year. I believe when you interviewed him, he was just about to be inducted into the Iowa Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, indeed. He was playing at one of the casinos here, and the very next day he had to make a quick trip across the state for the induction ceremony. And he was quite pleased and quite excited about that. He played a lot of places here in Iowa, not only before he got really big, but also in a lot of times in between. And now with his reincarnation, so to speak, with his new songs and his new CD, I tell you, the venues where he's played, he's been, you know, playing to sold out crowds. It's been amazing, and he just sounds like he's having a ball all over again. And this is after he retired once.
Right. But you know, Tommy had something that many other people didn't have. He was much more than a one-decade wonder. And unlike some of his peers, he was careful with his money.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very careful about the ownership rights to his music.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to go on permanent tour like many
Elton
other
John.
Musicians.
Elton John, he's made like, you know, billions of dollars in record sales and everything, but he wound up getting himself, you know, into money troubles. Not his fault, but he certainly wasn't watching the pennies like he should have been, and he had to go out and tour. He had to tour by himself because he couldn't afford the band. It was just him and his piano for a while there, for a 2-year stint.
Right. Anyway, I have no clue how it happened, but it was guitarist Rick Levy that woke up the sleeping bear. He persuaded Tommy to do a couple of gigs. tribute to Tommy Gigs, if you will. But once you wake up the darn bear from his hibernation, you got yourself a big problem. I mean, the beast just doesn't want to go back to sleep.
He started writing some incredible songs.
Right. In 2012, he released a whole new album. Well, it's not entirely new. I think there's one song on it that he's played before. But it's incredibly different from his 60s material. There's one track in particular, Underneath My Burning Bridge, that to me is just simply outstanding. Have you heard the track?
Oh, yes, and you know, I concur. I mean, this is just great. The way he spoke about it, he said that, you know, he had made all of these really nice commercial hits, and it was nice to do and fun to do. But he felt that at a certain time in his life, he had given himself permission or the creative license to do what he's always wanted to do, was to write a song about the things that he had witnessed, things that he had seen, things that were happening in people's everyday lives, and this captured a pretty good dose of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, let me see if I... I just happen to have it in my library.
What do you know?
Just minding my own business. Now here you come again, filling me with mixed emotions. Will it ever end? Rain that's in my heart, douse this flame that's about to start. It's all water underneath a burning bridge. We hurt each other so much. Now it's time to live. Time can heal the pain, but trying to deal with memories that remain stirs up the water underneath my burning bridge. I see you have someone by the ring that's on your hand, and all I can think about how it feels to be that man. Just turn and walk away, 'cause all I've got to say is it's all water underneath the burning bridge. We hurt each other so much. Now it's time to live. Time can heal the pain, but trying to deal with memories that remain stirs up the water underneath my burning bridge. It stirs up the water underneath my burning bridge.
Wow.
Sam, I've got to head to you first. Isn't it more fun listening to that than talking about the fiscal cliff?
No shit. Yes. I'd rather listen to that. Believe me, I'd rather be listening to music and talking about music and arts and books and movies and all that stuff any day of the week over what you just said, Sam. And I'm going to let you say that phrase today, not myself. And I appreciate it, and I'm glad I'm on it because I'm enjoying listening to music, and you two forget more about the musicians and the artists and composers than I'll ever know. So I'm learning something, too, and that's always a nice thing.
Well, what are your opinions of that particular song?
It's just got a great melody, and it just, you know, I don't hear enough of that music anymore. I mean, I'm 52. I'm only going to hear that music if I'm buying it myself, downloading it, if I've already owned it, or going on a walk with my dogs with my earphones on or in my own car, or maybe if I'm lucky enough to see an independent film that has where the filmmaker has foresight or whatnot to include great music from those days into it for the background music, I will. But, you know, most of the stuff, the commercial songs you hear nowadays, the stuff you hear on the news, any of that other stuff for background music, it's terrible. It's all loud, loud, and loudest, you know, and doesn't really, I don't think it's going to be around years from, when was that song written?
2012.
That was written in 2012. I could have. I am shocked because that sounds like something that was written in the late 60s, early 70s. So that shows you my knowledge. But it's a beautiful song, and it's hard to believe it came out. It's hard to believe that it's not coming out even, you know, in the mainstream, because I would never hear that. And it's very enjoyable because it brought back, just listening to it, memories of that bygone era of beautiful music that was all over the place and everywhere. And we just don't get enough of that, and I'm glad we did.
Okay, TJ and I were talking off air, and I was vacillating as to whether or not to play another song off Tommy's latest CD. And TJ, I have made my decision.
Yes.
I'm going to go for it.
Tommy really liked this. He really liked this because he could comment on the situations of today. And he said he'd been sitting on that idea for a long, long time.
Okay. For any listeners that are interested, The CD is called Devil's Soul Pile, and it's available everywhere. I'm sure a 2 second trip to Google will find it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the title track, Devil's Soul Pile.
The devil's soul bound. Now the sun used to shine, the wind used to from the streets of L.A. Lucky to be alive to see another day. I was blessed with a family who did their best, but the Lord God Almighty, He did the rest. Now the sun's gonna shine, the wind's gonna blow, the rain's gonna fall, and tears are gonna flow. I dropped my attitude, I'm not afraid to smile, and I'm never gonna end up in
the devil's so high. The devil's so high.
So Sam, what do you make of that track?
Like it. you know, it's just enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
It's very enjoyable music. It's like I said, it's like kicking back on the, putting on the old FM transistor radio years ago and sitting on the in the back, you know, the hills listening to some great music. Very enjoyable. I mean, what can I, what else can I say?
Are you going to be putting it on your jukebox at Bill's place?
It'll automatically be there if he's because of we have the quote unquote up internet jukebox, Simon, which means if he's already tied in with or sold the rights to his music to BMI or ASCAP or any of those other ones, then they buy the rights and then they put it on the in the jukebox and people can download it and put it in there for 50 cents and play the music away. Matter of fact, I may play some tomorrow night on New Year's Eve when I'm up there working.
Good.
And introduce some people to it when we have some downtime between DJs.
TJ, I mean, I'm shocked. Internet jukebox.
Mm.
I mean, what happened to the good old days of 45s and, you know, you could watch them being loaded?
You know, it's funny that you bring that up. My grandparents, when I was a young boy, had the malt shop in our small town in Indiana. And thanks to Tommy's music, I think that's how I got to be a radio DJ, because when the kids got out of school, man, it was banana splits, ice creams, french fries, and you didn't think that those kids had eaten a meal in a month by the time they got there. But my job was take the nickels, and they would write down on the napkin what number and what letter to push. And Tommy's music was playing at that time, whether it was Sweet Tea or whether it was Dizzy or something like that. And when you talk about the jukebox, I just remember doing that. It was one of the things I used to do as a little kid, 5, 6, 7 years old. And, you know, but I love those old jukeboxes. But the internet jukebox, that's a little different. I think iPod Shuffle, and I think my grandkids now.
Okay, Sam, I have a rare treat for you. My next musician is also on the program with us. Ah, you're going to be able to ask him all the hard questions.
I love this guy.
It was a little over 3 years ago or so that I bumped into TJ Hart. except when I met him, he wasn't a musician, or at least I didn't know he was. He was a hard-nosed news guy and radio personality in Florida. The story of how our paths crossed is at least complex.
Yeah.
And it involved a missing child, a high-octane bounty hunter, an Emmy-winning asshole, and Nancy, don't you love my children, Grace. Amidst the insanity, TJ and I connected, and it was not for a very long time that TJ and I talked about music. Our conversations tended to be more serious.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but About a year ago, TJ left the frigid world of Florida. He'd had enough of the snow and bone-chilling temperatures and moved to balmy Des Moines, Iowa. Oops, maybe I got that the wrong way around. Anyway, the upshot was that he found himself only working half days, 4 a.m. to 4 p.m., to while away the time, you know, when he wasn't working. He picked up his trusted guitar and started to say, as musicians tend to say, noodled. The results were very impressive. And one of my absolute favorite tracks is one called London Fog. Let's take that out for a spin. I really like the song. I know that the track I played was a raw track, but I think with a little bit of juice behind it, boy, that would be a powerful tune.
Well, thank you. That is the what you heard right there. Was the first time it was ever played completely through, and that was actually the first take.
And Sam, do you think that, with a little bit of bass, and maybe some other backing, that would make for just a great tune.
Well, I kind of liked it the way it was. Wouldn't make it change anything.
Thank you.
I kind of liked it. I just really enjoyed it. I mean, it was that. I know why you liked it, Simon, because it had the word London in it. I mean, but, no, I don't mess with anything. You know, as a writer, I just love hearing original, you know, stuff like that. And it was just, it was so nice. You know, it was a nice little tempo and beat to it. And I did like the name London Fog, too, Simon. I will tell you that. I just had to hit you on that one. But why mess with something that's good, as they say? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Okay. TJ, I know that there's a story behind this song. and it wasn't until earlier today that I realized you were willing to take part on the program. So my script reads, "The story behind the song is unique and harkens back to an episode from his youth. TJ is a good friend, and so I will opt out of sharing the story at this stage." Would you care to tell the story?
Sure. A good friend of mine, Chris, who is from London and who is a owner and publisher of a magazine in Florida, thinks it's about her. And my friend Linda, who lives in Farnham near Portsmouth, thinks it's about her. I never let them think any differently. But the truth is that I had the opportunity back in 2007, 2008, right there, about this time of the year, at that time, to possibly take over the programming of a independently owned radio station in Liverpool. And I think there are only about six or seven independently owned radio stations. The rest are BBC over there in England, if what they told me was correct. And they wanted to have a yank over there to make talk radio sound like talk radio in the States. And what happened was is that the economy went bad. I had all the paperwork filled out, had the visa ready to go, and I had the work permit and everything else, everything legal beagle, and they said, we just can't do this. Our forecast shows that economically it's not a good decision. We thank you. We hope you haven't turned in your resignation yet in Florida. And it would have been in City Talk Radio at St. John's Beacon in Liverpool. So I wrote this song thinking that I was saying goodbye to a love in Liverpool, but something about Liverpool fog just didn't sound good. So I changed it to London Fog. And there were some verses that I left out, like going to Carnaby Street and listening to the new beat and things like that. But I didn't want to put things in there that I didn't witness firsthand. So, but that's how it goes. It's like a love song because at the time I really thought that I belonged in Liverpool at that time. And it really hurt that thing didn't go through like I thought it would. So it was it's meant to be a little bit of a heartbreak song or a bittersweet song. But it's definitely not about a lady. It's definitely about a job opportunity.
That's too funny.
Well, I know. I mean, doesn't that just sound crass?
Okay. The second track I'd like to share is The Game. And I can honestly say that I have never explored the backstory of this song with TJ.
Get ready.
Yeah, I'm not sure the world's ready for it, but to my mind, it's a case study in being introspective. So let's take The Game out for a spin.
Thank you.
Was it an act? Is it staged? You mean it all and you fade away. You ask yourself now who's to blame. blame. Look at you, you're in the game. You act your part just to lose your job. You lose your wife and you lose your God. Still you ask now who's to blame. Forget who is in the game. This old world is changing. The rules all went down the drain. I don't
downsized, who've been told that perhaps they need to retire because they're making too damn much money in a down economy and the company can't afford to keep them. And, you know, when you get to that second verse, you know, you play your part just to lose your job, then you lose your wife, and then you lose your God. Many of these people are in their late 50s, early 60s, and everything that they've built up, they're in the prime earning years, and suddenly it's gone. And the whole time they've been propped up by the back players, you know, the folks in management, upper management, who tell you, you're doing a great job, here's your bonus check, here's your bonus check, doing a great job. And all of a sudden they said, you're doing too good. You either have to move on or retire. And that's what it's all about. It's about the game. And it's about how things are going for a lot of people, you know, of a certain age. And I realize it's only hitting a niche, but it's hitting a lot of people I know. And whenever I play this song live, I have a tendency to flash the bird. I'm going to strike that last chord. Because everybody's had that boss who puts on the fake tears as he's telling you that you got to go. Oh, that is a Zenny. Yeah, fuck you. You're going to have a job tomorrow. I'm not. Yeah, you really feel bad. You're going to feel bad for about 20 seconds until my desk is clear and everything I own in this office is in a box. Then after I leave, you're going to go, thank God it's over. I don't have to stress out anymore. I'm sitting there going, you worthless piece of cheese. And I've seen that happen to a lot of people. They work for a bunch of spineless, worthless pieces of cheese. And that's put it nice.
Sam, you're in Ohio, Youngstown.
Yep.
You've seen lots of you know, downturns in the local economy, companies closing. I mean, does that song hit you?
Yes, it kind of reminded me of the listening to some of the music that Springsteen wrote, a couple of years ago. I think Youngstown's one of the songs on it.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of that. And it's funny you brought that up, Sam. It was like reading my mind. And it was like listening to that. And it would be great. I was also thinking if I was doing a documentary of Youngstown, Mahoning County, the whole Steel Valley area, that would have been a great song, background music for the documentary as you were panning over the you know, like Detroit, you know, what Detroit's turned into. And that all the Rust Belt cities would be an awesome background track as the, you know, the camera went and saw all the, what we are, you know, what the cities really look like, not what the welcome wagon, Better Business Bureaus and politicians want to show us what the communities look like, but what it really looks like. And
thank you very much. I tell you what, there's a cancer growing, I think you've seen it. You know, you're in Youngstown. I grew up near Gary, Indiana, very similar. And, you know, we've seen it. We've seen how our towns have changed, and we've seen how the jobs have changed. We've seen the people who've been affected by it, and it's the people who are sometimes the hardest to change, have to make the change, and have to be brave. And it's been a tough go for the last four or five years, and it's been a tough go. And that's what it's all about. That's what that song's all about.
Well, it's a beautiful song. You should be very proud of yourself. I'm proud to hear it, and I'm very happy to hear it.
I'm going to make myself TJ's manager and get 10%.
Well, one of these days, the whole CD will be complete, Simon. We'll do this all online.
Are your songs available on YouTube?
The CD has been, the album is three songs short of being complete. Well, actually two songs now, because I wrote one last night that I'm very proud of. No one's heard it yet, and they probably won't for a few weeks, so.
Sam, trust me, I will keep you updated on the adventures of Mr. T.J. Hart.
Well, I hope so, Simon. I mean, I'd better listen to that music than some of the others, that stuff that begins with the P and ends with the S that we always talk about on Sundays. So.
Right. Okay. Let's move on. Looking at my playlist, it would seem that 2012 was the year of the letter T. Yeah, Tommy Rowe, T.J. Hart, and now I'm going to hit another T.
I like
Tokio Rosenthal.
You got to love that name.
Yeah, but his friends call him Toke. Even his mother calls him Toke. And Toke's a character. Quite how I, came to know Toke is long lost in the annals of history. But
when you say Toke, a lot of things get lost, son.
But
I'm sorry, I'm not Colorado.
I'm sure it's a story worth printing. Americana is not generally a genre of music that I tend to play in. Yeah, but there's just something about Toke song that sucks you in. It's not just the music. It's the Toke stories.
Yeah.
Right. And Toke. Toke has the best stories. And several years ago, he engaged on what he called his coal miner's daughter tour. He loaded the trunk of his car with CDs and literally knocked on radio station doors. It took guts and more than a few impromptu on-air concerts happened. Toke's the kind of person that indeed does understand that only he can be his PR firm. Without doubt, my favorite story is about his track, The Librarian.
Oh, no!
Yeah, only Toke can tell it. So I spent hours and hours and stinking hours with my spanky, audio editing software to get you this.
Okay. Okay, there's a new track on my record, my latest album, called The Librarian. The best way to explain this is first to give a little history about myself that a lot of people don't realize. Although I live in North Carolina now and have for some time, I grew up on Long Island in a town appropriately named, because we're sort of like a Norman Rockwell painting kind of town, appropriately named Green Acres, right over the New York City border, right on the other side of Queens. And this little Norman Rockwell town had a beautiful little grammar school that we all were able to walk to. We didn't even have to be driven to it. It was walking distance from the house, called the Forest Road School. Great teachers, great little school. And it had a state-of-the-art, for those days, little library within the actual school itself. And that's where the story breaks down a little bit. The library had this wicked witch kind of woman as a librarian who didn't really like me very much, named Rose Agri. And but I enjoyed going to the library. We'd have, as I remembered, it was Thursday mornings at 9 o'clock, and we would go in there and get to roam the library, and at the end of the session always take out a book, which of course you had to make sure you brought back next week, otherwise Mrs. Agri would drive you nuts. So now fast forward ahead 30 some odd years, and at 87 years of age, Rose Agri became the oldest woman to ever actively participate in a porn movie.
Girl!
Not only did she go in one porn movie, she went in four of them. The first one being called Still Banging at 87. She did four porn movies, of which I've seen the publicity pictures. Now, I don't want to play elitist here, Simon, but I think it's important to point out that Rose Agri was not a handsome woman. Not even by any stretch of the imagination or in any day. It's certainly not at 87. So, you know, I heard this because I'm on a website on Facebook called I Grew Up in Green Acres. So somebody had put this up there, and of course, like everybody else who's listening to this is probably right now going and Googling Rose Agri. And when you Google Rose Agri, all of this information comes up, including the line that says, prior to doing this, she was a librarian at a grammar school on Long Island. So after I fell on the floor, I lifted myself up off the floor, and being ever the opportunist that I am, I said I knew there was a song in this somewhere. And then, of course, the song would have to include Pancho and the Banditos, of course, as well. And so I wrote the song The Librarian, and there is your introduction.
Okay. Have the pair of you stopped laughing yet?
Well, I'm trying to find my walker.
Did the movie make any money?
I don't know.
Listen to the proprietor. He knows all about this.
But
what
I'll tell you what.
I can only shudder to think what the title of the movie was.
Well, it's Still Banging at 87.
Still Banging at 87? Or how about if the book was overdue? She didn't. Let me see. 87.
The book was overdue.
The book was overdue. Yeah, that's what I would call it.
Okay.
There wouldn't have to be the Dewey Decimal System, that's for sure.
Well, here it is.
Where's that fool, Rose?
To explain something, in Toke's comments, he mentions the Banditos.
Yes.
Right, but no, he didn't go to Tijuana to find them. They're actually a British band. I'm serious. He recorded that in England on tour. He was so impressed with them that he said, "Okay, let's collaborate on a song."
Well, I tell you what, they sounded great.
And Sam, what do you think of the Banditos?
Again, Simon, you play music that I like. You know, I can't complain. You know, it's not like you're, you know, so they're good. You know, it's very interesting. It's good. I feel like I'm listening to a nice radio station. I'm listening to the song, and they're playing, and the DJ is spinning all the perfect tunes today. And the only thing he's not talking about is how the weather is a little bit too snowy for me right now.
Well, I refuse to talk about snow. I believe that 65% of the country is covered in it.
I got 16 inches of snow here, and I hate it.
We got about a foot here.
Okay, and so back to back.
By the way,
Toke.
I googled that thing. You know, you were talking about the movie. She's not a handsome woman. And you know, Simon, what has been seen cannot be unseen, and I need some eye bleach.
She was a librarian. So what happened? She just like answered an ad in a bad mag, and she was bored at the library looking through self-help or wanted ads or whatnot, and came across that and said, "Wanted 87-year-old woman for porn film."
That I don't know. And,
I tell you what, I wouldn't put my bookmark there.
But you can rest assured that I will ask Toke the next time I talk to him.
You should have another guest, Simon.
All
right, going back to...
How I get a divorce after my wife sees what I looked at. Whoa! That was nasty. Do you need any grannies?
Going back to Toke, he's about to release his fifth CD. Comes out on January 2nd, and he's come up with the truly unique name of Tokyo's Fifth.
I like it.
Right. I was talking to him a week or so ago, and his quote will be, "The suits will be upset if I share any more tracks."
Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay, I have a copy, and I've dealt with the suits. There is one track already out in the wild, and so there's no problem in sharing it. And incidentally, that there is a wonderful, wonderful video that goes with it. You can find it on YouTube. Title is "This." "What Did I Used to Be?" It's particularly important today because of the fiscal cliff.
I sold my spot on the line. Reality show, I walk through the fog. They suck on our bones, fault on our loans. Where is my job? There's no more room. What did I used to be? Is this still my home? What did I used to be? Look back to the days when we were kings. The oil was cheap, our savings were deep, had the ball and the play. They shut down your store, they charged for your bag. You moved to the right, come back to the left, 99 and a half. There's no old room for what did I used to be. Is this still my home for what did I used to be? And make the old new. Trading
can't find a friend. I stare at my gun, asking myself, could this be the end? Still my home, what did I used to be? I made my bones, what did I used to be? There's no more room, what did I used to be?
I think it's an interesting song, and Toke probably it is somewhat similar to TJ. I mean, it's one thing to take a band into a recording studio, but you damn well can't take them on tour.
Two different things, because the show band is very much show, and the recording band is very much its decision. And it is two different things.
Okay. I am the first to admit that it is a strange life that I lead. Yeah, unlike most people, rarely do I seek music out. Rather, music has a strange habit of seeking me out. And that was certainly the case with Jamie Michaels. He's well known in his center of operations, Santa Fe, New Mexico, but not a name I was familiar with. My wife and I live in Mississippi, and as writers, we became quite vocal in the aftermath of the Deepwater Horizon disaster.
Yes.
The Gulf region's economy was still in a very fragile state following the devastation of Katrina, a natural disaster. To compound the problem with a man-made disaster was nothing short of heartbreaking. One of the things that always amazes me, though, is that following some terrible event is the kindness of strangers. One such person was Jamie Michaels. Somehow our paths crossed, and his story touched me. The conversation went, "I am not a rich man. I'm just a musician trying to survive. But I know that I have to do something to try and help the people of the Gulf region. I have written a song, and all proceeds from the sales are being sent to help those affected by the Gulf oil spill. The song is spectacular. It's called Black River."
Oh.
My father's grandfather made his way down to the sea sailed halfway around the world from the shores of Italy. With nothing but a faith in how his life would be. He lived in a time when dreams were to be believed. My father's grandfather labored each and every day. Not till the sun kissed the horizon would he put his nets away. Heading for the home they'd built in this new land. Following the stars to the shores of Louisiana. Cast your prayers upon the water when the moonless nights have come. Your home lies far beyond the shadows where the Black River runs. My father's grandfather taught his son all that he knew. Take only what you need, take pride in what you do. To every day becomes a link in what's an everlasting chain that passes father unto son and unto son again. Cast your prayer upon the water when the moonless nights have come. Your home lies far beyond the shadows where the Black River runs. Father's grandfather wouldn't recognize this place. I stand here on his shore, tears running down my face. I've got this feeling in my heart between forgiveness and a sin. My children take my trembling hands. Tides keep rolling in. Cast your prayers upon the water when the moonless nights have come. Your home lies far beyond the shadows where the Black River runs. Cast your prayers upon the water when the moonless nights have come. Your home lies far beyond the shadows where the Black River runs. Your home lies far beyond the shadows where the Black River runs.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Everyone involved, the musicians, the technical guys, studio, even the cover designer, volunteered their time and expertise. The only hard cost was the physical manufacturing of the discs and slip covers. I mean, hats off to Jamie for being a caring guy.
Indeed. You know, I swear, I heard Gordon Lightfoot, I heard Harry Chapin,
and I heard the band Poco all in the same essence of that song. And, oh, and the fact that they cared so much that they did that all on a volunteer basis put together, unbelievable.
Yeah, Sam, did you like the track?
Yes, I haven't disliked anything you played. I've been very happy listening. It's just been nice, Simon. I don't know how you did this to me. I guess they say it, music soothes the savage beast, right? That's been me today. I'm very enjoyable. And, you know, Simon, as you know, the Browns ended on a pfft, but I think your Chargers are winning.
Perfect.
You'll be able to have a good meal tonight.
Okay, Sam, here's a strange question for you. Do you know who the Lord Michael Philip de Barr, otherwise known as the Marquis de Barr, is?
The Marquis? No. Can you give me? You got to give me a better hint.
He's an actor.
Okay. Did you ever watch MacGyver?
The what? I know the Marquis de Sade, but that's one of that's one of my wife's favorite people. But
you never watched MacGyver?
That was popular when I was in college, so I never had a chance to watch it. But a lot of other people did.
And they
enjoyed it. You're talking, that's the, wait a minute. Is that the one with the guy with the bald head and the mustache with his partner? Or am I thinking of something else?
Nah, MacGyver's the program where he can fix everything with a roll of duct tape.
You can make a nuclear bomb out of a big pen.
Oh, no, that's Scotty from Star Trek who could fix, you know, the warp drive was going. All he had was a nail file and a piece of bubble gum, and he could... You know, the warp drive was going, and you know the shields were going down, and he fixed it with a nail file.
Okay, TJ, I know you know MacGyver.
Oh yeah, Richard Dean Anderson, I believe, from Canada, was MacGyver, and I believe the person you're talking about was one of the co-stars of the show.
Right, it was the Evil Murdoch.
Evil Murdoch is the arch enemy.
Right. Well,
kind of like Batman's Joker, you know.
believe it or not, the Evil Murdoch has a bit of a musical side, you know.
Really?
When he's not trying to kill
Richard Dean Anderson.
Right. Oh Lord, I have to find him.
Did you lose him on the Googles?
Now I'm trying to find him in my
laptop.
There you go.
MacGyver. Did you like MacGyver, Simon?
Oh, I thought it was delightful.
It was a funny show. I loved it.
Like I said, I was in college when it was on. I remember reading about it. Whatever happened to the actor?
Well,
on Stargate 1.
Hey, I don't know what happened to the actor, but I do know what happened to Murdoch.
What happened to
You're my painkiller. You're my painkiller. You're my painkiller. You're my painkiller.
rather like Murdoch as a musician. He was very cute when I talked to him. A most interesting man. And he had little to say about being a member of the aristocracy. Comments like, "It means nothing. I did nothing."
None like being a ceremonial doorstop.
Right. Well, he escaped England in the early 80s, and pretty much he just views it as, I inherited it, but no real interest.
He's talented.
You like him?
Oh, yeah. I think that cut you played was pretty darn good.
Okay. I'm going to plow on then.
I don't think you liked it, but I liked it. I thought he was pretty good. It's got a different side of him, that's for sure.
Yeah.
A totally different side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Early in 2012, I rekindled a project that I had began several years before. I wanted to seek out my favorite musicians from the 70s. And it was an interesting quest, and in many ways a surprising one. Back in the 70s, these people were demigods. They didn't talk to mere mortals. But 40 years have passed, and I was absolutely amazed by the warm reception I received. In fact, more than amazed. In my quest, I have only been turned away by three people. And I'll keep that wall of shame private. Ah, no, I won't. All right, stupid doughhead Donovan, but I think is selling some idiocy on TV. And Carole King and the other guy, James Taylor. Hey. Yeah, but other than that, everyone has been really, really nice. And in the early 70s, one of my favorite bands was the Strobes. It was prog rock meets traditional folk music. Might sound like a recipe from hell, but it worked really, really well. And I've interviewed band leader Dave Cousins and keyboardist Rick Wakeman. Yeah, it's that Rick Wakeman of Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, somehow, though, in an act of providence, bass player John Ford hit my radar, and this started me off on a whole new line of exploration. John Ford and his better half, Jill, proved to be very friendly people. The subject of how and why the Straubs imploded in the mid-70s has always been a subject of speculation, but I know part of the story, and it's all about a track that John Ford crafted called Heavy Disguise. So I really think we need to play it.
Though I was a totally enthralled with the whole scene. You know what I mean? Just kind of, to me, it kind of came out of nowhere. And when I was in out of college, and would go in to see people who I would, on one hand, you'd see them 9 to 5, and then you'd go out on a weekend and you'd see them all decked out to go, you know, all punking and all dressed up, and then Monday morning they'd be back in their quote unquote uniforms for work, and it was very interesting. And that was very interesting in the culture shock for me, but also learning about others. Hey, there's different tastes of music, you know, and you got to deal with it, Sam.
Okay. John Ford and Richard Hudson joined forces after the Straubs had exploded, and they actually moved into the punk scene. I'd love for you to hear this song. It's called Drugs in My Pocket. So, gentlemen, what do you think of a good dose of punk?
It never hurts.
It never hurts.
I'd rather
actually,
listen to
that's
London
the voice
Fox.
Of the kids, so you got to listen to it.
And,
with all due respect, Simon, I'd rather listen to London Fog over and over again.
Oh, bless you.
You're welcome. I mean, up in the bottom of my soles of my feet.
Okay, Sam. We're getting almost to the end of this.
Okay.
But would you be prepared to comment on one more song?
Simon, you're driving the train, as they say. Fire away.
All right. This particular track attracts me because of the deeper meaning. And I'm sure TJ will cotton on to it. It's called Big Hit in India.
You know I love you, baby. Everything's alright. But I've got to grab my suitcase, 'cause I'm flying out tonight. I woke up early this morning, looking for a new career, but now I'm on the plane in Bollywood. There ain't nothing happening here, 'cause I'm a big kid in India. It's been a hard nut to crack. We're gonna recreate the summer of love, the Mauritius coming back. Yeah, I'm a big kid in India, and it's where I'm gonna be. I've got a sellout.
To wrap this up, I want to really, really thank you both for joining me. I was quite prepared to go solo, but no. TJ, I honestly cannot thank you enough.
Thank you, sir.
We've been through so much together, and you know, music is it is an area that we just don't need any trouble with.
Nah, not at all.
And
it's the
Sam,
celebration of the soul.
Right. And Sam, why don't you give us a quick, shameless commercial about where people can find your books?
Well, thanks, Simon. I just want to tell you thank you for the opportunity. I'm glad I made the mistake of calling you today, expecting to talk politics. So all the stuff I studied the last couple of days, where I had the flu, out the window it goes, and all that. And I really enjoyed it, and enjoyed listening to the music and listening to you guys. You guys forget more than I'll ever know about music. But I do love. I'm a big fan of good music, and I heard a lot of good music today, and I really appreciate that. And thank you, and best of luck to you, PJ, and all that stuff. You're welcome. I was thinking maybe one of my books has been an option, and I was thinking that London Fog wouldn't be such a bad song for the when the producer actually sends me a check. I'm gonna turn them on to Simon and turn them on to you to maybe be some background music there. Remember, as the producer told me, when it comes to movies in Hollywood, it's a long, long marathon, as much as we want it to be a short, short sprint. And that's a quote I keep telling myself. My books are available on www.tokillthedeuke.com. I've written 5 of them, all fiction. My last one was about a communist plot to kill John Wayne. And it's doing quite well. It did pretty well over the holidays, I'm proud to say.
Good.
And thank you, Simon, for giving me that plug. And I'm currently slowly but surely working on my next novel, which is Requiem for Casanova, which I hope will be the male answer to 50 Shades of Grey.
Good man. Good man.
And TJ, where can people find you? Where is Wow FM?
93wowfm.com. You can listen to us live every Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. So we'd like to have as many people aboard as we can. We got a 6-person morning show, and it's a lot of fun.
I'll bet.
I bet.
Okay, I'm going to close this down. I seriously thank the pair of you for joining me, and I'm sure I'll be back next Sunday with more regular programming. Until then, this is goodbye from Simon Barrett, and goodbye to 2012.
Goodbye,
see you next week.
Goodbye, Simon.
Okay, bye.